We started talking last Sunday about pursuing the promises. Pursuing the promises, pursuing the things of God, pursuing the promises that have been made. And when you pursue, it means that you have to, you are focused on something. In order to accomplish something, you have to lock on to it. How many understand that you'll never accomplish anything if you don't pursue it and lock on to it? I mean, you have to have a mindset that says it doesn't matter what tries to deter me, it's not going to deter me. I'm locked onto this thing. You know, I was talking at our last elders meeting about Dr. Benjamin. When he gets locked onto something, it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot persuade him or change his mind. I mean, he is just laser focused. And you can try to talk to him about something else, and he'll sit there and look at you, and as soon as you're done, he goes right back to what he was focused on. I mean, very, very, very determined and very focused, but he has to be that way because there's so many things that are trying to... I got an echo here, guys. I don't know what it is. There's so many things that is trying to move him off of that and discourage him. If you're going to pay attention to discouragements, you might as well just mark it down. You're never going to accomplish anything. Discouragement is always there to try to eliminate your progress. But discouragement only exists in you. It does not exist anywhere else. Discouragement is only powerful when you allow it to become a part of your life. But if you refuse to allow it to become part of your life, then there's nothing that can dissuade you. You're going to make it. You're going to push through. You're going to attain to what you want to attain. And it has to, you know, there's a mindset in America today that somehow it should be easy to accomplish things. That is probably the most defeating thing that you can get in your life, that to attain something should be easy. That'll stop you from doing anything. You'll become a person that fantasizes instead of attaining. We are addicted to fantasy in America. We fantasize about what we could do, what we should do, while we're sitting watching somebody else accomplish something. Amen. If you're going to live the dream, you got to be part of the dream. Praise God. You got to make it through the nightmares to attain the dream, the real dream. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, it says, "And grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." We talked about that last week. All things. Amen. Pursuing and realizing that all things have been provided. "Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." I want to focus today about the exceeding great and precious promises and the divine nature. It says that these things are apprehended by the knowledge of Him. If we don't have knowledge of Jesus, of who He was, His characteristics, of His ways, then it's going to be hard to attain the things that He's given to us. Amen. You have to get to know these things. It's a relationship, not just an acquaintance. There's a lot of people that are acquainted with Jesus. But like Moses, the children of Israel was acquainted with God, but God said that Moses knew His ways. He didn't just see His acts, but He knew His ways. And so the ways of God is depicting that we know his nature, we know his purposes, we know why that he's doing what he's doing. It's one thing to watch God work. It's another thing to participate with God's work. And it's so much more exciting to participate. You know, we can be spectators in this life, or we can be participators. Spectators, you know, this is football season. I really have no interest in sports. I don't know why. I think it's the fact that all those guys are making multi-millions of dollars down there running around with a football when the people that are actually building this country are scraping and scratching for the next dollar. I think that's probably what turns me off, and I can't even get interested in it. So that's my opinion. Some of you guys are just, you know, ready to shoot me and all that kind of stuff, you know, and all that kind of, I've got a daughter-in-law that is Alabama all the way, Roll Tide, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I give her a hard time all the time. You know, I never let up. And, but, you know, she's always into that. But the participator or spectators, when you look at it, there's, I don't know how many guys down there on the 22 guys, on 11 on each team, I think, down there, you know, running into each other and chasing a ball. And there's hundreds of thousands of people in the stadiums, not counting the millions of people that are watching my television, all spectating 22 people. So 22 people are out there entertaining millions of people that are sitting in their chair saying what they should have done. Complain if you have to get up out of your chair to get something, but you're criticizing people that are down there running and beating their heads together, and this is what they should have done. Yeah. So that's what happens when we get to the point in life where we start spectating instead of participating. And with the things of God, spectators are not going to accomplish anything. Right. A spectator wants to see God do something. A participator makes themselves available so God can do something. Amen. Did we grab that? A spectator wants to see it. A participator wants to be it. So we have to just determine what we're going to be. Are we going to see it or are we going to be it? And he said that by which we have been given exceeding the great and precious promises. By what? By the Spirit, by the power of God, the divine power, through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which? It's by the glory and virtue that we are able to have exceedingly great and precious promises. When you start looking at the Word of God, I realize that a lot of people, you know, they'll say, oh, it's just a book of do's and don'ts. Oh, you're missing the whole point. When you really get to looking at the covenant, you realize that it is a book of blessing and a book of empowerment and a book of safety and a book that outlines a life that is productive instead of a life that is wasteful and you know, squanders everything and comes to destruction. How many people are coming to destruction today and yet they're chasing the American dream or whatever you want to call it, and yet their lives are coming to destruction? How many people have built their dream home only to lose their marriage? Come on, somebody. Talk to me. You can live in a one-room shack and have a happy life more than you can live in a mansion and be so stressed out you can't even get along or talk to each other. Yeah, you end up living in opposite ends of your mansion. Why? Because your love and your passion got transferred from relationship to possessions. Okay. Possessions are fine, but they're not the goal. Amen. All of our possessions in our life will fade away, tear up, wear out, break down, be taken away from us. And besides that, In case you haven't woke up lately, everything you got belongs to the government now. Yeah, so how much do you want them to have? You know, you can't even have a pond or a mud puddle in your yard anymore without the EPA saying, that belongs to us. Don't you mess with that mud puddle. That belongs to us. You know? Make sure you don't just stomp in it. They want to tell you, if you've got a little creek running through your property, they want to tell you what you can do and what you can't do with it. And they make you spend money on that little creek if they think you need to do something to it. You know? So, you know, how much do we want to really grab hold of? There is a relationship, there is a blessing, there is a possession, there is an inheritance that is far greater than the things that people are chasing after and is consuming our lives today. And it is the relationship of Jesus Christ and the involvement in the things that God is doing. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't like just watching. I like to be a part of. Yeah. I still think I can be a part of anyway. You know, I don't like watching football, but if somebody got a game up today, you know, I'd be out there trying to play. I'd be laying on the ground most of the time, but I'd try it. You know, just because I like to participate. I like to be a participator. But the knowledge of Him and the virtue and the glory by which you've been given exceedingly great and precious promises. Everybody say they're great and they're precious. We should value what God is talking about here, what the Word of God is talking about here. We should value above anything. Because the writer is saying they are great and they are precious promises. And so the great and precious promises that through these, through the what? The great and precious promises, through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 9, I want to just look at a couple of really great and precious promises. In Colossians, I believe Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians. That's commonly understood. In this, he starts out and he just kind of starts outlining all the blessings that God has given us, all the awesomeness of being a part of the kingdom of God. And in verse 9 it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, Paul is declaring something. He's not just praying about something. He is making declarations of what you can have. So he says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice there's a common theme in this, that it's through the knowledge of God, through the knowledge of Him. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And we lost some of you there. You know, that doesn't sound real great. Patience and long-suffering with joy. We have to realize, back to my first point, when did we start believing that we can accomplish anything without hardships? When did we start believing in the church that everything should be easy, and if it's not easy, it's not God? Quite the opposite is true. When you start obeying what God has told you to do, there's a big bullseye drone on you, and you start getting hit. And if you start whining, complaining, and paying attention to the hits, then it's going to work. You're going to miss the goal. You're going to miss the mark. You're going to throw it away. You're going to quit. And that's why it's so important to have your mind made up and your focus on the purpose. There is a purpose that God has established in us. And if we have that purpose established in our hearts, no amount of discouragement is going to stop you. Yeah. Why? Because you're not looking for that. You're not desiring to quit. If you're wanting to quit, you will absolutely be given more reasons to quit than you can ever imagine. I mean, you'll be handed a huge book full of excuses. But if you're not looking for a reason to quit, then none of that matters. If you're looking for a reason to quit on God, you'll have more reasons today to quit on God than you need. But if you're not looking for a reason to quit on God, there is nothing offered you that matters. Why? Because that is not what you care about. You're focused and you have purpose. God spoke something to me the other day that just kind of caught me off guard. It just hit me. And I didn't quite understand it at first, but he said purpose is not predicated by the people involved, but is by the self. And when he first spoke that, I thought, huh? I went to Hollister. You're going to have to stop here. But he said purpose is not predicated by the people involved, but by the purpose itself. In other words, it's not based on who is and who is not with you. It's based on the purpose. And the purpose is what matters. Come on, somebody. We have to seize the purpose for why we live for God. We have to seize the purpose for why we worship Him. We have to seize the purpose for why we are Christians. There's a bunch of people in Oregon just gave their lives because they were not ashamed to say, I am a Christian. I like that one statement. The bravest person in the world was the second person asked. After the first one was shot, the second one said, yes, I'm a Christian. Pow! That's the bravest person that I've ever heard of. Why? Because they were not ashamed of the fact that I am a Christian. The purpose is greater. We have to seize the purpose. If you don't have a purpose for why you're serving God, then anything and everything will move you away from that. Amen. Fully pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. Everybody say, I am strengthened with all might. That means all might. Not a portion. Paul is saying that you can receive all of the power and might of God. It's there. It's for you. It's with you. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Now these are precious promises. Who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's so many promises right there that we can focus on, but I want to focus on the inheritance. He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. How do you qualify to be a partaker of the inheritance? You have to be brought into that position of the heir. What is it? Romans chapter 8 says that we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have received the inheritance that belonged to Jesus Christ. That is not a small thing. That is a powerful thing. That is a huge thing. To receive the inheritance that Jesus Christ received is a huge thing. In John chapter 12, or John chapter 16, I believe it is, he says in starting with verse 14, he talking about the Holy Spirit, He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. All things. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I have received everything that the Father has through inheritance, and now it has been passed to you because you are in me. We are in Christ. And because we're in Christ, we are qualified to receive as Christ. I don't know about you, but that is exciting news. When you can stand before God as Christ stands before God, then you receive everything that Christ has. And He has qualified us. You didn't do it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to make it. But God has qualified us through the blood of Jesus to stand in that position. It is not fair because God got nothing and we got everything. Stop and think about it. You got everything God has, and He got you. Not a very fair trade, is it? No. But Jesus paid the price for us and qualified us. You are pre-qualified. You get those statements in the mail all the time. You're pre-qualified, you know, to receive this loan, but you got to pay it back. Well, the fact is, God pre-qualified you, but you don't have to pay anything back. Praise God. You get the loan without having to make the payments because Jesus already made the payment. He already paid it in full. You've been washed in the blood. You've been bought with a price. You are the child of God. You don't have to make payments on this thing. You are there. You are qualified. You are established. You are in the position of the firstborn son of God. Not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus did and the fact that God loved you, you now stand before God as the firstborn son and you get the inheritance. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, what is that inheritance? Well, the very first thing of that inheritance is His nature. You have been partakers. He's qualified you to inherit and to be a partaker of His divine nature. Praise God. How many know what the nature is? When you have the nature of somebody. You know, all of you have certain things that has been passed down to you by your parents. Doesn't matter how much you try, you're still, it's there. Amen. How many's ever thought when you're raising your kids, I have become my mother or my dad. I am my parent. There are characteristics there that have been passed down. You have inherited characteristics. And because you've inherited those characteristics, you are attached, you know? Praise God. You are attached. When people see Austin, they don't have to ask him whose son he is. If they know me, they see him. They know. You know? One of these days he's going to get, you know, big as me, but that day will come. I try to keep that goal out there for him, you know, to keep advancing. But the inheritance, we have received inheritance and we receive divine nature. Now, I want us to look here. The inheritance in this text, the word inheritance, we think of that as possessions. But in this text, the word inheritance actually means speaks of obtaining divine direction. We have received the inheritance. We've been qualified for the inheritance to do what? Receive divine direction. In other words, you don't only get the inheritance of God, you get the intent of God in the inheritance. Stop and think about that a minute. That's a pretty powerful statement. It's one thing to inherit something. It's another thing to inherit the purpose for the possession. If you don't inherit the purpose of the possession, then you'll lose it. What is it? Everybody that has a fortune, it's lost by the third generation. Why? Because the second and third generation didn't inherit the purpose of the possession. They just simply inherited the possession. But they didn't know why or how. So they didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know why that fortune was built up. They didn't have the passion and the purpose that caused it to get there. And so they squandered it and wasted it. Why? Because they had no purpose or passion. But he says, we have been qualified to be partakers of the divine nature. We have received an inheritance, and that inheritance is the divine direction of God in the inheritance. So in other words, we don't just get an inheritance and say, well, that's nice, what do I do with it? But we get an inheritance, and we also receive the passion and the purpose of the inheritance that causes us to be partakers instead of just spectators, and causes us to build on the possession instead of waste the possession. If you don't receive the purpose of the possession, you're going to waste everything Jesus did for you. He's going to squander and throw it away. The blood of Jesus is not to be wasted. People, Jesus deserves for people to be healed because He paid for it. Jesus deserves for people to be born again and saved because He paid for it. Amen. He shed His blood for it, so He deserves that. If you have that purpose inside of you, it drives you. When God spoke to me several years ago to start going to other countries, I didn't want to go to other countries. Matter of fact, I told people for years that I wasn't called to do missions. I was just called to support missions, but not to go. I told people that for years. And then all of a sudden one day, God said, hey, I need you to go. and He changed everything, started sending me. Why? And I've had so many people criticize me and say, why can't you just stay home? Well, the reason is because there's a purpose in me. There's a passion and a purpose. And God deserves for people all over this world to be born again. He deserves to have His name in every town, every village, every country, not just America. I have people tell me, say, why don't you just stay home? Why don't you just care about home? I do care about home. But we are gluttons with the Word of God. We're gluttons with the presence of God. We sit and consume and we don't give it back out. If we were as concerned in America as they are there in other countries, we would be doing a lot more than what we're doing right now. But we like to consume, 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 but we don't give it back out. But when I go and preach the gospel in areas where they've not heard the gospel, when I go places where they're bound by demon spirits, where occultism has them held captive, and I start declaring the name of Jesus Christ to them and see them set free and demons come out of them, Jesus deserves that. Sorry, I'm a little passionate. That's called purpose and passion. When the devil thinks that he owns a country, it's our job to go in there and tell him he doesn't own that country. Because Jesus died for it. He shed His blood for those people. And how dare we sit here drinking our Starbucks and eating our Andy's ice cream and wondering why we have to go and do something in another country. It's because God's blessed us so that we can spread the purpose and the passion of Jesus Christ. He has given us so much. How can we consume it and hold it to ourselves? You poke that balloon, it pops. We don't have the right. We don't have the right to just continually consume and not give out. You turn on the television, you can get tremendous preaching anytime you want it. You turn on the radio, you can get tremendous preaching, every type of preaching you can imagine here in America. You go anywhere you go, there's churches on every corner. There's Bibles everywhere. There's Bibles laying around your house. There's Bibles in your back windows of your cars. There's Bibles everywhere. We have been totally saturated with the opportunity of the gospel. You listen to me? We have been totally saturated with the opportunity of the gospel. And yet a lot of our churches are empty. And you go around the country, there's some churches that are full, some big churches that are full. But most of the other churches are just empty. Why? Because we are consumers. We are not producers. And we've got to stop being consumers. And we've got to start producing again. What's wrong with this country is we are consumers from other nations, but we're producing nothing. We're not building anything. That's what's wrong with our economy. That's what's wrong with our work. We're just consumers. We're consuming. We are a storefront for China. We're a storefront for other countries. But Americans are sitting and paying these prices for cheap stuff so that we can keep them employed, but we just want to consume. And that nature has come into the church where now we are nothing but consumers. We go to church and we say, come on, pastor, feed me one more time. Feed me. Well, you can be fed all the time. Praise God for that. I'm not down. I thank God we live in an area like that. But don't just eat one time a week. Don't just go shopping for the church that's serving the meal that you're hungry for. We've got so many churches in this area. Excuse me while I just vent. We got churches in this area, so many, and people just go from one to the other looking for that next meal, looking for that next inspiration. And they get that inspiration, they leave, and they go get another inspiration. But nothing ever happens with the inspiration. We've become consumers where we go from place to place consuming but not producing. Church growth today, 90% of all church growth today is Christians moving from church to church. Only 10% is people being born again. Why? Because we've lost the purpose of the inheritance. We've lost the why. Why have we received this? We've received not only inheritance, we have received a purpose in the inheritance. It says that this inheritance is the divine direction. In other words, it's not just God blessing you, it's God blessing you with inspiration of the blessing. This is what the purpose of the blessing is. This is what it's for. He blesses you and He instills in you a passion of the blessing. And if we don't use that, then we're just frustrated all the time. You know, we're looking for the next good thing, the next great thing. Well, the greatest thing ever was is right here. Jesus died for you. He paid a price for you. He has qualified you. So it means that we receive the spirit and intentions of the possession. The insight, the mindset, the purpose, and the heart of the Father. The greatest thing God did for us is instead of just giving us His inheritance, He also, with the inheritance, gave us His heart. That's what causes us to do what we do. That's what causes us to drive ourselves a lot of times. That's what causes us to reach out to people, to share with them, to lift them up. That's what makes our hearts ache when we see things going wrong in people's lives. And you want to reach out. What is that? That's not self-preservation. That's the heart of the Father in you. And that heart is saying, look, I have so much. I've given you so much. I have so much to give. I need some distributors. Oh, how many wants to sign up on the distributorship? I'm not talking about a multi-level marketing scheme. I'm talking about a distributorship where every one of you is right with the Father. Praise God. You're not under me. You're not under somebody else. You're under God. and you have a distributorship, and you get connected to that distributorship, and you get connected to the warehouse, and you start having shipments come in to your spirit, and like those the shipments start coming in, and all of a sudden you get full, and you say, what am I supposed to do with this? And God says, distribute. Hand it out. Give it away as fast as you can give it away. The purpose is because we have an almighty God that loves us so much that He gave us everything He had. And He just asked us to come together and worship and minister and receive and give out what He's given us.